The following programming is sponsored by Clean and Sober Media. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
If you need immediate help, please call the National Substance Abuse and Mental Health Hotline at 1-800-662-HELP. Welcome to Clean and Sober Radio, brought to you in part by Jefferson University Hospitals and Thomas Jefferson University, providing excellent clinical and compassionate care in the Philadelphia region, a proven leader in healthcare and education since 1825. And now, here are your hosts, Gary Handler and Mark Sigmund.
Hey, hi, everybody, and thanks for joining us. Welcome to the show. Clean and Sober Radio features real people with real stories about addictions to drugs and alcohol. Mark Sigmund, what do you have this week in recovery news?
So Elton John has come out against the legalization of marijuana. He is calling it one of the greatest mistakes of all time. The rock star, who was named Time Magazine's Icon of the Year last week, maintains that it's addictive, leads to other drugs, poor decisions. He's basically saying that a drug is a drug is a drug. And in July, he celebrated 34 years sober. So he's gone through this long history of addiction, and he's seeing this, and he's kind of like, why are we making this legalized all over the place?
Well, Mark, we've talked about this for years, and yeah. I agree, but, you know, money talks.
Yes, money talks, right? And, I'm sure there's moderate users out there, right? But I think Elton John's talking about how kids get a hold of this, and it's all over the place, all the states now, just about. I don't know about all the states, but...
Do you remember when he was listening to our show?
I do. I remember when Elton John was listening. I got really nervous. Did you?
Yeah.
We were like, Elton John's on our message board right now.
He's
a legend. He's a legend. I don't know how many awards he's won, but he is definitely one of a kind.
Do you know his real name?
No. Now, do you?
Yeah. I know half of it. It's Reginald
White, I think.
Oh, right. That was Tony Luke's
Tony
voice,
Luke?
by the way, guys. Yeah. And we're going to bring him on soon. We just didn't want somebody to hear your voice coming out of the sky.
Now we spoiled it. Everybody knows who's on today, right?
Well, yeah, everybody knows. That's interesting. You know, I mean... Look, it's the barn door is open. It's all out. Marijuana is not the end. Psilocybin, magic mushrooms are next. And it's because I believe, it's just my opinion, that we've lowered the bar so low on everything in this country.
Yeah, and it's interesting because you hear so much for marijuana legalization these days. It's interesting to hear a star of his magnitude coming out and against it.
Yeah, it's interesting. And he's been sober for
34 years.
34 years.
In July.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. Is that it?
That's it.
Okay, that's good stuff. Listen, again, let's talk about, this is our fundraising time of the year. And you know, if you've been enjoying the show and learning stuff from the show over the past 10 years and want us to continue to be able to broadcast the show, then we need your help. We need you to help us continue the work that we do by donating to Clean and Sober Media. We're a nonprofit, a 501c3, and we really need your help. This is not for free when we do this. You know, we all know what it was like to be in our addiction, and a donation to Clean and Sober Radio will allow us, through your generous contributions, to help others in their time of crisis. We know what it felt like in those dark days, months, and years. Won't you please help us to continue helping others? Your donation is totally tax deductible. That really shouldn't be the reason to do this. But you know what? If you want to enjoy this, please make a donation. Go to cleanandsoberbroadcasting.com, go to the PayPal button and hit it and donate $1, $2,000, $9,000. What else?
Put us in your will, too.
Yeah, put us in the will. then we'd have to wait. Anyway, so please help us, all kidding aside. We need to, we don't do this, we don't get paid, but we have to pay to do everything you hear. So please help us. That would be fabulous. All right, let's do this. When we come back, Tony Luke is in the studio, And he's got a great story. He's an incredible guy. He's multi-talented. And there's a lot of good things and there's a lot of sadness. When we come back, we're going to hear the real story. We'll be right back.
This is Clean and Sober Radio.
A cancer diagnosis can knock the wind out of you. The Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center at Abington Jefferson Health can help. Our brand new Asplund Cancer Pavilion brings you 86,000 square feet of cancer-fighting science for truly comprehensive care. Backed by the strength of an NCI-designated cancer center. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW. The Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center at Abington Jefferson Health. The power to out-science cancer.
Hey, everybody, this is former Philadelphia Flyer Chris Terrien, and you're listening to Clean and Sober Radio.
888-728-9941. This is Clean and Sober Radio.
Hey, you can hear us all the time right here on WWDB in Philadelphia, 97.5 FM HD2 in Philly, and that's actually WPEN-FM, WGAC in Augusta, Georgia, WNBR in Tampa, Florida, and among others, we can't get into all of it. And okay, so today, let it go. That's Tony Luke's music, and you know, it's an instrumental. Obviously, Tony's got a great voice. But he picks up, at least for me, the old school jazz, soul music, calm music that you can hear yourself think and relax. And it's as you can hear, it's very, very soothing.
It's so nice to hear these days. It's so nice to hear that old style music and great voice too. But this doesn't have his voice in it. But the music's phenomenal.
Yeah, Tony, when you hear this, What are you thinking when you hear your own? This is like came out of you.
Well, it's not mine. I mean, I know it sounds corny and I know a lot of people say it, but I truly believe it. It doesn't come from me. It comes from somewhere else.
Okay,
I'm just
you're the vessel.
A vessel that it comes through because I hear. I can't sit down. Like if you said to me, "Come over, let's write a song together," I couldn't do it. But I can be sitting on the couch or be walking somewhere or driving, and I'll hear, like, this song. I heard the entire song in my head and then just put it down.
I mean, that's a God-given talent. I mean, you can't learn. You know, you hear a lot of artists, you know, the real big ones. They hear stuff in their head, and they can transform it from their head onto paper or into music. It's a talent that's...
It's funny because the new direction I've been going with the music is I still write music that's, you know, sad.
Yeah.
Because I'm sad a lot. So it comes out in the music. But this new, I guess, smooth jazz or my interpretation of smooth jazz would be a better definition. Is what I've been concentrating on doing because I feel like it's better to kind of meditate to or just when you're feeling a certain way. Like when I came up with Smooth Groove, which is the name of that track, I just was in a bad place and I thought, I want to write something that I want to hear that the lyrics don't take me where the writer wants to take me. Because, see, the lyrics will direct you to a certain place. I don't want to be directed to a certain place. I want the music to go through me, and I want me to take it where I need it to go, which is why there's no lyrics in that track. And I haven't heard trumpet in decades. Like, they just no one, not that no one plays it anymore. It's not really in any kind of popular music much. And I said, I'm going to make this song dedicated to the trumpet. And believe it or not, the trumpet player on that track is an incredibly talented cat named Eric Sherman from a group called Snack Time, which does a ton of work. And they're great. And I just used their sax player as well on a new track that I'm about to release called Never Enough. But the music was my therapy. It would got it it's what got me through. I mean, One More Night affected so many people. I have been so blessed and humbled that I was able to receive a song that affected so many people in such a strong way. And I just keep trying to do it. Like, I don't do it to get streams. I don't do it to make money, because trust me, there's no money in music. I mean, even big artists, they make money on merch, and concerts. They make money in concerts. Even that, labels take a ton of money. But there's no money in streaming. None. Yeah.
You know, Tony, you're a really creative, caring guy. From where you come from, you were South Philadelphia. I don't want to say you were a street punk, but you were a tough kid. And for someone who was tough and grew up in that environment, I know that did you take dance lessons?
Well, I went to CAPA, Creative and Performing Arts, and that school literally changed my life.
So did you get teased by your friends on the street? Oh, Tony, look, he's taking dance lessons.
No, my father, not kids on the street.
Your father said stuff to you like that?
Yeah, not kids on the street.
Well, they were scared you'd knock them out, right?
Growing up, if we're going to talk about growing up,
yeah, let's
I grew
talk.
Up in an era and a time where I lived in a 10 by 10 block world.
In South Philadelphia?
In South Philly.
Yes.
So anyone that didn't live in that 10 by 10 block were not my enemy, but I wasn't supposed to associate with them. This is the circle, and you don't go outside the circle. Yeah. So you have all these preconceived ideas about people from different religions and different races and, you know, just different walks of life, different social structures. And then when I went to Kappa, it was almost like I felt like I was lied to my entire childhood, because there was a world outside of that 10 by 10 block radius. And it taught me one of the most valuable lessons I've ever learned. And I'll be 63 come March. And from that day on to this day, I still use it, is I've learned to absolutely, people say it, but they don't do it. I've always learned to judge people by their character, not by their religion or the color of their skin or their social status, by their character. And I do it indiscriminately. It doesn't matter. Like, what you're judged by the way I see, the way you speak to other people, and not just the way you speak to me. One of the greatest things I've ever heard is if you really want to know someone's character, go with them out to dinner. I know this sounds crazy, but they were like, go out to dinner and watch the way they treat the servers and the people that are in the restaurant.
Absolutely.
Because that will really show you their true character. And I do that a lot. Like, when I meet people, I always meet them for the first time at a diner or at a restaurant, because if you want something from me, you're going to be nice to me. But it's when you're nice to people that can't do anything for you is a sign of true character.
Absolutely. It's a perfect environment to find out what somebody's about. And I've had experiences with people that I've gone out with, and they've treated the work staff terribly, condescending, I'm better than you. That shows me they're disgusting, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, one of my credos is, and I learned this, believe it or not, I mean, I never knew how to put it into words, but my girlfriend Maria, who is an amazing human being, her mom said something to me, and it stuck. And this was about 12 years ago. And truer words were never said. Richer or poorer, never better.
Yeah.
And then I realized that. You could be richer than me, you can be poorer than me, but you're never better than me. Money doesn't make you better. Being poor doesn't make you less.
Yeah.
And those are truths that are just life truths that always stay.
Very important. If you're just joining us now, Tony Luke is our guest. Tony's from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and he's an American restaurateur, a musician, songwriter, actor. media host and well known around here in Philadelphia for being involved in Tony Luke's cheese steak franchise. I, you know when you have certain people's names, you really have to think, is it, it's so close. Every time I mention your name associated with that, Tony, I got to be careful I don't say cheesecake. I mean, I don't know why, but it happened in Harrisburg when I introduced
you. Yeah, that was hilarious. Yeah. But I loved it. I mean, it makes me want to open up a cheesecake place just so there's no mistake. You would never get it wrong. If you say steak, you would have got it right. If you said cake, you would have got it right.
Why don't you open up Tony Luke's cheesecake slash steak? You know what I'm saying? So you look, you were a tough kid, right? And you had to be, but you really were not a tough guy because you had the oozing of your body and everything was, you're creative. You want to be nice. You're a dancer. You're an artist. Is that a hard thing to transition to from being a, you know, I'm not saying you were a wise guy.
No, I was never a wise guy. But I mean, I was a street kid.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember there was a trainer named Pete Alessi, was a great boxing trainer.
Yeah.
And I trained with him. And, you know, he had said to me, you know, you're really good with your hands. He said, but you'll never make it as a fighter. And I said, why? He said, because you don't have that killer. And I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, because every time you've got someone in the corner and you're hitting them, you stop and you back away. And I'm like, well, I got them. I don't want to. And he's like, no, if you want to be a fighter, you got to want to destroy them. Like, you want to beat him to a pulp. You don't want to just beat him. You want to destroy. And I'm like, well, no, I don't want to destroy anyone. Right, unless right, my right. life depended right. on it. And even then, you know, I'm not 100% sure that I would want to hurt someone that bad. So, no, the transition for me was difficult from where I come from to being an artist. The problem was, in my generation, you were something, and then everything else you did was a hobby. Okay, so you're a carpenter, and maybe your hobby is playing pool, or maybe your hobby is singing.
Yeah.
You know, I was very defiant. I was like, I don't have to be one thing. I could be an actor and be a musician and be, you know, a sketch artist if I wanted to, because I would draw as well. And I could be a writer. I could be an entrepreneur. I don't have, well, you can't do everything and do it well. Why can't you? That's an outdated way of thinking. You can do many things and do them well. Now, can you be great at everything? I don't know. I mean, I'm one of my favorite artists of all times was Prince, and Prince was great at everything involving music. That doesn't mean that Prince would have been great as the CEO of a giant food company.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but I would tell kids when I would speak years ago, and people would get mad at me. They're like, why are you telling these kids that they can be good at, you know, they don't have to be good at just one thing. They can be, don't do that. They need a path that they have to go. And I'm like, no, they don't. They can go anywhere they want to go. They just have to be true to what they believe is their talent.
Now, you were, as a young guy, you were an amphetamine abuser.
Oh, meth was king.
Meth was king. You did that right.
King.
You did that right, didn't you, Tony?
Yeah.
So what else? I know it was meth.
I never did downers. I mean, I did. Like, I did Quaaludes and Valiums and all, but... but, and weed. I smoked, yeah. I mean, I think weed, yeah. I smoked a crop of weed as a kid, but my drug of choice was amphetamines. It was, to me, it was the end of Coke. It was meth, dioxins, Christmas trees,
yes.
Black Beauties.
All speed, right?
Yeah, all speed, because I thought this was useless.
Yeah.
You know, just can't even open up your eye. I wanted to be all over. And then you think you're doing, like, I'm doing so much. I didn't even leave the chair. Like, in my head, I just did 9,000 things when you're on meth. And I'm like, actually, I never even left the chair yet. So you think you're doing all these things, but you're not doing anything.
Tony, you should have been Black Beauties and Ludes. That was the combination.
Quaaludes were like...
You didn't like it?
No, I do remember the one pill that I could never take were Tuminals.
Tuminal.
Because Tuminals would turn me into a gladiator. Like, I just want to fight everyone and anything. You know, oh, there's a lion. Let's go. You know, it was... No.
Did you ever hear Tuminal?
I did. Yes, yeah. I've heard of them before. They weren't.
They were capsules. I think capsules.
Capsules. Yeah.
They were capsules. I think they were. You know, this is so horrible that I remember the color of the capsule after being clean for 42 years. I think we used to freeze them, and then cut them.
That I didn't do. You were a little more advanced than me.
Yeah. So okay. So you had your addiction.
Here's the thing. Here's my definition of addiction.
Yeah.
Mine. Remember how you say, this is my opinion.
Yeah.
It's not law. It's not fact. It's my opinion.
Yeah.
When I overdosed, and that one night I was doing a show, it was actually The Wiz.
Okay.
And it was in high school.
Yeah.
And we were doing, and I did Mad Dog 2020. I did cocaine. I did Quaaludes. I did meth, I did a Dioxin, and I smoked PCP
and
Jack Daniels in the same night and almost died. And then the very next day, it was affecting my whole life, and I just stopped. And I've never touched...
That was it.
That was it. And the problem arose with my son. When my son was struggling with addiction... In the beginning, I couldn't understand why he couldn't just stop, because I did. What I didn't realize, though, was I was not suffering from addiction. I wasn't struggling with addiction. I enjoyed getting high. I didn't need to get high. I wasn't numbing a mental issue. I wasn't numbing a pain. I was enjoying myself. It was a party. So when I was able to just stop, it's because I didn't need to do it every day. So I tell people there's a big difference with addiction. Addiction is not, I always say, addiction is not someone getting high. Addiction is someone numbing a pain that they can't handle or having trouble handling, not just getting high and having a good time. So I never thought of myself as someone who struggled with addiction. I just... partied way too much.
That's very interesting, the way you worded that. Very interesting. If you're just joining us now, Tony Luke is our guest. And if you're just listening and you want to watch us do the show right now, go to Facebook, to our page, Clean and Sober Radio, and you can watch the three of us doing the show, like these folks. Kathy Wolf-Kahn is watching us from Carl Springs, Florida. Judge Christopher Maddox from Upper Darby, Pennsylvania. Carlos Ricardo. Debbie Reynolds, the judge says, thanks for all you guys do. Two weddings today. She's marrying people in the courtroom. Judge, you're the best. Steven Sussman is watching from West Palm Beach. Larry Mayer. Nice. Bill Krutroff. I hate if I said it. Laura Story. Betsy Kalish. Betsy Kalish says, I'll definitely be donating and rallying friends and family to do the same. That is fabulous.
It should really have been the applause button right there.
Yeah, I know that. Mike Brill, happy birthday, guys. Happy Friday. Thanks for all you do. Brant Royal Norton is... who's Brant Royal Norton?
So Brant Royal Norton is the owner, the CEO of Pennsylvania Recovery Centers with partial hospitalization, IOP, medically assisted treatment. Great place, Gary.
All right, Kevin King is watching. Michael Tomlinson, John Goodwin is watching. I want to say something real quick. Where do I have this? I want to say something real quick about John Goodwin, because we like to acknowledge people in this community that are giving back. He is the owner of the K&A Boxing Club at F Street and Kensington Avenue. He has young people come into the boxing ring, and so they can learn something creative and nonviolent, controlled nonviolent, and something they can be proud of instead of running the streets and getting in a lot of trouble. So, John Goodwin, thanks for all that you do. You're open from 4 to 7 daily, and that's at F Street and Kensington Avenue in Philadelphia. And I think I'm getting a signal. We have to go to a break right now. We will be back with Tony Luke. We'll be right back.
This is Clean and Sober Radio.
A cancer diagnosis can knock the wind out of you. The Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center at Abington Jefferson Health can help. Our brand new Asplund Cancer Pavilion brings you 86,000 square feet of cancer-fighting science for truly comprehensive care. Backed by the strength of an NCI-designated cancer center. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW. The Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center at Abington Jefferson Health. The power to out-science cancer.
Hi, this is Randy the Blade Lurch. I listen to Clean and Sober Radio.
888-728-9941. This is Clean and Sober Radio.
Hey, we are back with Tony Luke.
Tony Luke.
Tony Luke. I'll tell you something. Tony and I have gone, well, you've met Tony before.
Oh, yeah.
We go back about 8 years already, Tony.
Yeah,
you know
since
that?
Tony died, yeah.
And yeah, absolutely. And I remember calling you the first time, and I remember there was an article in Philly Magazine.
Yeah.
And I called you. I don't know how I got your number. And you called me back, and we've established a good relationship.
Absolutely.
Good friends.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to see good friends every day to be really good friends.
See, that's what people don't get. People get mad when they haven't spoken to someone for a while, and they're like, well, you didn't call me in 6 months. A real friend, you cannot call for 8 months and then call them and leave off, you know, start right where you left off. It shouldn't be dictated by how many times, because, you know, life gets in the way with a lot of things, you know?
Yeah, people take too many things personally also, you know?
Yeah.
All right, so Ruth B. from Philly. Tony, we get people during the week that email us, okay?
Okay.
Ruth B. from Philly. Do you think that addiction is hereditary? I smoke weed, and I'm worried about my four kids will do the same when they reach whatever age it is.
So, of course, you know, they found out all studies back that addiction has a genetic component. But I'll tell you, you also a lot of times need an environmental, you know. So if you're smoking weed a lot in front of your kids, you know, there's definitely more of a chance that somebody over in one of your kids will run into issues.
But, you know, we always bring it up. And Tony, I don't know if you know this. We've had identical twins on the show. One of them liked me growing up. The other one just couldn't stand me because what I was about. One became a heroin addict and one became a professor at a university. Identical twins.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, one of them has passed from COVID. But I don't know.
Well, they think it's,
Isn't it? I think it's more environmental. I don't know anything about it, really.
Well, I'd love to hear what Tony thinks about this.
But you'll hate my answer to this.
No.
Yes,
we don't want to hear it. I mean,
it is very controversial.
All right, we like controversy.
Tony's will be more interesting, but I'm a big believer that there's all kinds of different addiction. You know, if somebody's had a lot of trauma growing up, you know, maybe they don't have as much of genetic, but they're trying to self-medicate. You know, when they say genetic, people think one gene, but it's really a whole combination. You know, but I want to hear Tony's. Tony's is probably more interesting. Yeah.
Well,
than
it's going to be very not what you think. But again, it's only an opinion. I am an addict, but I'm not a drug addict. I'm a food addict.
Okay.
When I get depressed and I feel really bad and the pain doesn't stop, I turn to food and I gain a ton of weight. And then I struggle to get the weight off. And then always, I'm 30 pounds heavier now. Every holiday or before Tony's death, you know, like the anniversary of his death, I slip, I fall off the wagon, and I eat. This is where you are going to hate what I'm going to say, but I'm just telling you from my experience of everyone I've talked to and what I've did. I'm not talking about, let me make this clear, I'm not talking about opioids. It's not what I'm talking about, okay? I'm not talking about drugs that are known drugs for the body once them again and again. I do not believe that marijuana is a gateway drug. I don't believe that alcohol is a gateway drug. I don't. I believe that anything is a gateway drug when you're suffering from any kind of situation that you cannot face. So I pick up a drink. When Tony died, I went to the booze. And you know what? It didn't help me. I didn't like it. You know, I picked up a pizza and I felt phenomenal. If the booze would have made me feel like the pizza felt, I wouldn't ate the pizza. I'd have kept drinking. So I really don't believe there's a thing as a gateway drug. I believe that people will look for whatever it is to quell and numb the pain, whether it's food, booze, drugs, smoking, gambling,
sex.
It's there's no gateway. It's like anyone who's not dealing with those issues. I did so much meth when I was a kid, and marijuana and amphetamines, that I should have been dead. I've never touched them in 45, 50 years. I haven't gone near them. And I don't crave to go again. Because when people go out to go have a drink, I don't really like alcohol. I don't want it. But if there's pizza on the table, I literally have to tell my girl, do me a favor. After two slices, I'm an addict. I can't not eat it. So food addiction is as strong as an addiction as anything else. But when people say, well, I smoked a joint and then I became an addict. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. Okay? If you did, it's because you were numbing something and the marijuana was working and then it didn't work anymore. The numbness was wearing off and you needed something stronger to numb it. But it doesn't, smoking marijuana is not going to make you an addict. Smoking marijuana to numb something is going to lead to something worse.
So I can go with that, tell you the truth. It makes total sense. So is recreational marijuana, how does that play into, and I happen to agree with what you just said, that whole thing. How does recreational marijuana play into the part of getting out of pain?
I don't think, recreational marijuana couldn't I say the same thing as, why does everybody want to have a drink during the holidays? Why do people sit back, come home from work and have a beer or have a cocktail? It's like, there's no difference. The only difference is I haven't known anyone to smoke marijuana and then want to get up and fight 25 people like someone who's just drank a case of beer.
Or eating a pizza and robbing a bank.
Right, a bank. They'd rather eat the pizza and not rob the bank.
Yeah.
So my point is people that smoke marijuana become very mellow. Now, do I disagree with smoking marijuana because I feel that marijuana could be very detrimental to your lungs and your physical body, just like smoking? I mean, don't quote me, but I think smoking one joint is equivalent to smoking like a pack of cigarettes as far as the damage to your lungs, or even like cigar smoking. But that's a medical, physical issue, not a mental issue. But I don't believe there's any such thing as a gateway unless you're looking. Everything is a gateway when you're looking to numb a pain. Porn is another. I mean, porn is right up there. You know, watching porn numbs the senses. It numbs the mind. You know, it's like these are all addictions.
John, do you think that this phrase gateway started because most of us, I believe, I guess let me talk for myself. The first drugs that I ever came in contact with were smoking a joint. So I'm assuming there's a large percentage of us that the first thing they tried was smoking a joint. I don't think many started just shooting dope I think maybe that's where gateway. I do agree with you, though. It's the numb. So anything, you name 10 different things, you know, robbery. Burglarizing could be a gateway to something. You know?
Kleptomaniacs, people that it's the mind is such an intricate physical part of the body. We know nothing. It's 2024, and we know barely. We know as much about the mind as we know about the ocean. We don't know anything about the ocean. We know a lot about space. We don't know nothing about the ocean. We know very, very little. And we know even less about the mind. Why does it do what it does? Why are people, you know, drawn to one thing or another? You know, I don't know. But I do know that addiction is about numbing. Yeah. It's about numbing. And for me, the pizza and the music was my numbing mechanism. The music was wonderful. I wish I could have done just the music and not the pizza. But I, you know, I'd rather, if they said to me, look, you have a disease, you'll live to be 90 years old, but you can't have pizza, you'll be dead in a year, I'll be dead in a year, because I'm not giving up pizza.
I love pizza too.
So it's, you know, it's yeah. like, you know, that's what I mean. It's like, there's so much we don't know. You even got into a little bit of a discussion about, you know, the mushrooms and the microdosing. And, you know, there was research that some microdosing actually helps people. Who knows? I don't know. You don't really know. We don't really know.
The brain, they might know 2% maybe if of that. What the brain does. Yeah, it's true. You didn't have to be, you know, when you thought you were going to get a lot of people saying, what's he talking about? I'm sure it made total sense what you said, Tony.
Well, I just, you know, the only thing that's real without a shadow of a doubt is the pain that is associated with addiction. That is real. And it's not just the pain that the person is going through that they're trying to numb. Addiction is a family disease. Everyone in your life that loves you is affected by it. The saddest thing my son ever said to me, and it will never leave my mind, is he felt so low about himself that he believed with every fiber of his being that his family would be better if he was dead.
Wow.
He believed that with every fiber, because that's what the stigma does, and that's what we teach people. That's why the stigma to me is as horrible, if not worse, than the addiction itself.
Yeah, it's awful that, you know, because you hear about that too with like with suicide, right? It's like somebody thinks they're better off dead, you know, and they get to that point where they rationalize and justify that, like, well, I'm actually doing everybody a favor, you know, and it's just so sad to be in that spot, you know.
It's horrible.
So, can we talk a little bit about your son?
Sure.
Okay. Anthony James.
The third.
You're the second.
I'm a junior, yes.
You're the junior. Your dad's?
The senior.
Is there anything above that or no?
No.
I'm Jewish. We don't know.
Not that I know. No, you're not allowed to name your child after the father, right?
Right.
Grandfather, yes.
Correct.
Yeah.
So, everybody listening, you know, it's our biggest fears with kids. That we get the phone call that you
it's
got
the worst.
In 2017. Where were you?
Oh, I'll never forget that till the day I die. The Phillies were starting, and we always have an event where I'm at a stand, and then a bunch of people come, and it's kind of a pre what's coming this year at the Citizens Bank Park. Mm-hmm. And it was either around 5:30. I want to say it was more like 5:45, but my son Michael says it was around 5:30. I was in the lower part of Citizens Bank Park. So, and it's really weird. Here's the weird local connection. I had just got done speaking with a new Fox announcer, which was Alex Holly. And I had just met Alex Holly. She was new on 29. Yeah. And I just said, hi. I said, I want to try your cheese. And my phone rang. And normally I just let it ring because I'm taking pictures and we're talking about. And I said, give me a minute. I got to take this. And I remember picking it up. And the service was terrible. And it was real choppy. And all I heard was, dad, dead, dead. I'm like, dead. Who died? So I'm running up the steps, and my phone falls at the top of the steps, and it's falling, and the steps are like concrete, and I'm thinking, now my phone is destroyed. And I ran to the bottom, and I grabbed it, and I remember pushing out the door. I didn't know where I was, like what exit I left on Citizens Bank. I have no idea where the street was. And I said, well, who died? And my son Michael said, Stacy called, Tony's dead. And I remember, like in a movie, falling to my knees. And here's what I tell people. When you find out a child dies, your child dies, you do not cry. What I did could not be categorized as crying. You wail. It's a sound from inside your body that there is no way to duplicate it. And I remember I didn't know where I was. I didn't drive there. I took an Uber. I didn't know where to tell the Uber. Everyone I was calling, no one was picking up for me. And I knew I had to get to my house, to get to my car, to get to my son's. And I remember calling for an Uber, and I didn't know where I was. And the Uber driver said, I can't find you. And I'm like, I don't know where I am. I don't know where I am. Can't you look at the dot? Like, I don't know where. And then I don't remember anything after that, except he got me to my house. It was a van, like a sliding minivan. Yeah. And I remember him picking me up off the floor of the back of the Uber. And I remember him saying to me, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I don't know what I was saying in the Uber. And my girl was there. And we drove to my son's house. And there were cops everywhere. And I remember the cop wouldn't let me in. And they said he was upstairs in the bathroom. And I had seen dead bodies before. And, you know, I had seen people be put in a bag and taken out, like my growing up as a kid. And I remember telling Maria was there. And I said, I can't see him come out in the bag. Like, I cannot see that. So she said, when they're coming out, I'll tell you. And then the part that rips my heart out every time is my son Joey pulled up with his mother, and she jumped out of the car, and I remember they were holding her back, and she said, I gotta get in there. I have to see him. And I said, no, he's gone. She's like, you don't understand. I'm his mom. I could wake him up. If you just let me in there, I could wake him up. And I said, you can't wake him up. There's no waking him up. And that stayed with me. And then they brought him out, and I turned. I didn't want to look. And they put him in the ambulance, and they were driving down the street, and she's like, don't look. And then I remember turning, and I saw the back of the ambulance lights, because it would turn nighttime, and the lights were on, and I knew that I would never hear him or like they were taking him. He was gone. And I never forget that. And it's 8 years. It'll be 8 years this March 27th. And I get good days, really good days. I never thought I'd ever laugh again. I never thought I'd smile again, but I did. Anything can trigger it. I can be out having a great time watching a movie, and then something will trigger it, and then I'll be destroyed. And then there's times where I'll wake up, I'll sit on a chair, and then I won't get up. And my girl, Maria, she really knows how to handle me when I go to that bad place. Like, you can go there, you just can't live there. I tell people, don't be afraid to go there. Don't live there. And after a few days, she'll call me up, she'll go, did you take a shower? No. What did you do? I woke up, I ate, and I sat on the couch. Then I got up, and I went to the bathroom, and then I ate. And she said, you know what? Do me a favor. All I want you to do, you don't have to get off the couch. Just, can you brush your teeth? Can you promise me that all you'll do today, just brush your teeth. That's all I want you to do. And they go back to the couch, and they go back to eating. And I go, okay. And I went, and I brushed my teeth. And I looked in the mirror, and I looked horrible. And I said, well, since I'm here, I should shave. And then I shaved, and I go, I stink. And then I jumped in the shower, and then I was out of it. But see, she didn't say, get your butt up and stop wallowing in your own self-pity and, you know, be a man and go do what you got. No, she was like, yep, yeah, it's okay. Just, she knew if she just got me to do one little thing, that would be enough to get me to go and do something else. And I would call her back and I'm like, I'm out of it. Thank you. Thank you for not, for saying the right thing or for actually not saying anything. You know, sometimes silence, I tell people, is golden. I just went to a wake with a woman who lost her son. She was petrified for 2 years. We would talk, and then she got the phone call. And then everybody's at the wake, and they mean well. I'm so sorry. He's in a better place. Yeah, yeah. God has a plan. And in my head, all I want to do is go, shut up. Shut up. Hug her. Tell her you love her. If she needs you, you're there. Shut your mouth and keep walking. There's nothing that you will say to anyone in that position that will remote. Don't tell them God has a plan. God, at that moment, they don't want to hear anything. Just tell them you love them. Tell them you'll be there. Keep your mouth shut. Walk away.
Yeah. That call is the fear of everybody who's been around all this crap.
I had one woman say to me, I'm sorry. And I said, why? She said, because of what I'm thinking. I said, well, I can't read your mind. I don't know what you're thinking. She's like, the whole time, all I keep thinking is, I don't want to be you. I don't want to be you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, you know what? I don't want you to be me either, which is why I'm up here talking.
Tony, did you think at all? I know you went to the food. Did you ever think about going back to drugs?
No.
For this?
Mm-mm. I mean, I tried, went to booze, and it, you know, I had a couple drinks, and I felt worse. And then I picked up a pizza, and I felt phenomenal. I was like, well, that's it. There's my drug of choice, carbohydrates.
Yeah. We got to do this. We got to grab a quick break again. We'll be back with Tony Luke, and stay tuned.
This is Clean and Sober Radio.
A cancer diagnosis can knock the wind out of you. The Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center at Abington Jefferson Health can help. Our brand new Asplund Cancer Pavilion brings you 86,000 square feet of cancer-fighting science for truly comprehensive care. Backed by the strength of an NCI-designated cancer center. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW. The Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center at Abington Jefferson Health. The power to out-science cancer.
Hey, this is Mark Stein from the classic rock band Vanilla Fudge. Keep on rocking, Elypto. Good luck to everybody and all the best.
888-728-9941. This is Clean and Sober Radio.
Hey, we're back with Tony Luke on Clean and Sober Radio. Tony, you were starting to say something.
No, I said, you know, people are petrified of the call, and in some strange way, you know, you had mentioned some people believe that the call is kind of a relief because you're living with their death every single day, waiting. It's that anticipation of the call.
Yep.
Then when you get the call, you know that it's over. But for me, I remember Gino, the owner of Gino Steaks, who is a very, very dear friend of mine. He went to work with Gino. And he was working night work, and it was probably 2 a.m, and I wanted to go see him and say hi. And I drove by, and he was standing on the corner. It was his break. He had just got done cleaning. And he looked so sad and so lost, and he was in so much pain that I remember just driving by, and I was crying, and I said, Father, please, please take his pain away. I don't know how to do it. I can't. I've tried everything. I don't know how to take his pain away. So when he passed, it destroyed me. But in some way, me being destroyed was selfish because I'm thinking about me. But he was suffering so badly that he was out of his pain. You know, so there's a part of me that tries to think that, you know, I want him here. But if God came to me tomorrow and said, I can give you back your son tomorrow when you wake up, he'll be back. My question to God would be, would he come back with the addiction? Yes, then no. Don't send him back.
Yeah. Tony, we have a caller on the line right now.
Sure.
Let's take it. Caller, are you there?
Yeah, I am. Hey, Mark, Gary, thanks for all you do. Tony, thank you so much
thank
for your
you.
Story and for your honesty. Just real quick, personally, I absolutely hit a bottom with drugs and alcohol. and woke up one morning, you know, like a lightning bolt hit me that was that. And then I continued to hit a new bottom with food. And, you know, your story or your thoughts about gateway drugs, yes or no, this or that. It's like there is a phrase out there that talks about switching seats on the Titanic, which, you know, I'm a firm believer in. It's very easy once we put down one behavior or one substance just to transfer to another. So, you know, food addiction is real. It's devastating. It impacts lives in different ways, but it's just as devastating. But, you know, just like lots of other, you know, crazy behaviors, there is hope. You know, I'm almost 35 years in recovery and sober, what, 38 years or so.
God bless you.
Yeah. And I just wanted to sort of just say thank you. And, you know, I really appreciate your honesty, your story. And, you know, there's others out there and hope is available. And a day at a time, I don't have to do the things that I used to do, you know, to numb those feelings, to fill the void. You know, life is hard sometimes, but it's much easier to go through it than to try to go around it. So thank you again.
Well, thank you for calling. And I agree with you 100%. You have to, that's the secret, I believe, which is the hardest thing. It's like, we know what the answer is. The answer is you have to go through the pain. Everyone knows that. That's not a secret, you know, that only certain people know. The problem is, how do you get through the pain? Like, where do you find it? You know, for me, like I said, music therapy for me was the way to go, which is why the Sound Mind Network, that's what we concentrate on, is music therapy. Because if anything has the best shot of healing someone, it's music. I believe that with every fiber of my being.
Whatever it takes.
Yep. Thank you so much for the call.
Yeah, thanks for the call. Really appreciate it.
Keep it up.
God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you. Tony, do you still have your organization, Brown?
Oh, no. The Brown and White wasn't an organization. It was more of a movement.
Okay.
You know, and it was because people were like, wait, Brown and White, is this a racial like organ? I'm like, no, it's the two colors of heroin. And the whole idea of the Brown and White, which is what started everything, was that we wanted people to post brown and white ribbons or whatever, because the stigma, people were hiding the stigma. And my goal at that time, and it always is now, is don't be ashamed if someone you love has fallen into the depths of addiction. Let them know you still love them. They're not pieces of crap. They're not weak. They're none of those things that society says they are. They're people that are unwell, that need to get well, that are struggling. That's why, again, I'm not a word person, but I never did like the word, you know, when people say, well, you have to be clean and you have to be, okay, all right, well, does that donate that they're dirty? You know, it's like, what's the opposite of clean? Dirty. So I always say you're either well or you're unwell, okay? But everyone knows the term clean. I mean, it's a universal term. I don't have anything to say bad about the word clean. It's just that's what I'm trying to say. It's like we have these generational ideas of addiction that are negative. They're very negative. And people are afraid. I mean, just the idea that you have something called Alcoholic Anonymous, Narcotics Anonymous, just the fact that you need to be anonymous tells me that there's a stigma so badly attached to this that you can't go to someone and go, I'm struggling with addiction and I need help. Oh, I don't have anything to do with you.
We always talk about the anonymity is a real bad thing.
Oh, yeah. It sets it back.
Behind the door.
Yeah.
It's totally bad. Tony, Luke, thanks for coming on the show.
Oh,
again.
Thanks
Thank
for having
Tony.
Me.
You know, we we'll always you, love man. To see you. Whether we just have a conversation when you're home and I'm home, you really help the community.
I'm really trying.
And you put out some really good music.
Thank you.
You know, you come back again, of course.
Right? I absolutely will.
All right, well, I'll hook you up with Mark and you'll do your thing with
yes, him. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Me too.
Remember, I was just given 2 minutes. I've talked really slow. Remember, if you or a loved one is struggling with addiction, help is available. Please call 1-800-662-HELP. 1-800-662-HELP. For Clean and Sober Radio, I'm Gary Hendler.
I'm Mark Sigmund.
Thank you all for joining us, and thanks for the support. And have a really great and safe weekend.
Everybody wants to shine.
I'd like to say thank you on behalf of the group and ourselves. I hope we pass the audition.
The dust of